Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
The life study of the books of Joshua and Judges reveals not just the history of Israel, with its successes and failures possessing the good land of Canaan, but also, even more importantly, it teaches us how we can gain and possess the all-inclusive Christ as our full portion, our enjoyment, and our inheritance. Israel in the good land typifies us, the New Testament believers in Christ. And just as Israel allowed their departure from a close, intimate fellowship with Jehovah to impede their progress gaining the land, we too can see our spiritual progress and our enjoyment of Christ impeded if we don't take care of our day-by-day, even moment-by-moment fellowship with Him. Listen to this verse in 1 John chapter 1. That which we have seen and heard we report also to you, that you may also fellowship with us, and indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Dick Taylor has joined us for our final program today from the Life Study of Judges. Dick, a program we're going to see a very marvelous portion related to this matter of fellowship, typified, of course, by the picture in the Old Testament of Israel gaining, possessing the land. But we enter into fellowship the moment we receive Christ, and this fellowship is a fellowship that is lifelong, isn't it?
It really is, Chris, and praise the Lord for the life study of Judges, bringing us again in the Old Testament to the view of the good land, which is just a picture of the all-inclusive Christ into whom God called us, that we would remain in the possessing, the enjoying, and the gaining of this dear all-inclusive person.
The picture that we've seen again and again in Judges is that Israel's forsaking Jehovah disrupted, of course, their fellowship with Him, and that led to their frustrations, the defeats, really their inability to deal with their enemies as they were engaged trying to possess the land. But when they were clinging to Jehovah,
amen,
quite the opposite was the case.
That's right.
And that's really the message, and one of the main messages of the New Testament as well. Witness Lee is going to refer to a passage in John. We read a verse a moment ago from 1 John, but in the Gospel of John, chapter 15, we see this matter of fellowship and how critical it is, very vividly portrayed here. Abide in me, and I in you, in verse 4. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me.
Amen.
I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing.
Amen.
If one does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is dried up.
Amen.
And boy, haven't we seen that again and again in the history of Israel?
That's right. And even in our own experience.
And in our own experience. And that, I think, is the key here, is we have engaged in a life study, not just looking at the historical aspect, but how is it applied to us in our experience? And we've seen a parallel many times over.
That's right. Praise the Lord for this life study.
Really so. Well, let's join Witness Lee for our first portion today.
The whole history of this section is a big type, typifying how God's elect people could gain the good land, which was the complete, all-inclusive type of Christ. How to gain the land? How to enjoy the land? Since we got saved, we were brought into a kind of fellowship, a fellowship of the divine Trinity with His redeemed and regenerated elect. So from that time, we got into the fellowship in the kind of communication, as 1 John chapter 1 says, a fellowship between the apostles and God, a fellowship between the believers and the apostles. In other words, the whole salvation of God is this fellowship. It is in this fellowship that we could gain what God has given us. That is the Son of God given by God to us as our allotted portion. So how to gain this and how to enjoy this? Well, John's word, as in his first epistle, if we remain in this fellowship, we have the way. If our fellowship with God is cut off right away, we lose the enjoying of Christ. Just like in John 15, the branches of the vine tree. While the branches abide in the tree, there is a fellowship. But once, due to the barrenness and the dryness of the branch, that branch would be cut off. Just by the little cutting off, these branches loses his enjoyment of the riches of that vine tree. And that vine tree is a figure of the all-inclusive Christ under God's cultivation.
Dick, I'm just somewhat marveling here over the connection of these two pictures, an Old Testament picture that we've talked about quite much and a New Testament picture that we've talked about quite much. But seeing them brought together and connected, really astounding. This picture, of course, in the Old Testament, that of the good land and God's people possessing the good land, and how once they lost fellowship with Him, their ability to possess and gain and occupy the land was just negated. And, of course, in the New Testament, the picture there is that of this marvelous vine in John 15, isn't it?
Truly is. This fellowship, like you said, is like the vine with the branches and the vine. And any time we're cut off from that fellowship or any time we neglect that fellowship, then what happens? The enjoyment's gone. And we have no ability to satisfy the Lord, and we have no ability to go on to possess, gain, and enjoy Christ. So, okay, how do you go on in the possessing, enjoying, and gaining of Christ? You have to be somebody taking care of the fellowship. Another verse I was thinking of, Chris, is 1 Corinthians 6:17. He who is joined to the Lord is one spirit. We have an intimate life union with this all-inclusive Christ, and yet it's also very fine, very delicate. So we want to be those who pay attention to this dear, wonderful person in our spirit, always checking with him. Oh, Lord, I want to be one spirit with you. Whether I go shopping, whether I'm talking to my wife, whether I look at something, whatever I'm doing, I want to be one spirit with the Lord, remain in that fellowship. And as long as I remain in that fellowship, then I have taken care of the how-to.
Right.
Go on in my enjoyment and possession and gaining of this all-inclusive Christ.
Dick, there's another aspect of this fellowship that we need to look at. We will see in this coming portion, and we're going to see a reference to something we have talked about once or twice, but I'm sure it's quite new to many of our listeners. So let's take a minute to set up this next section. And that is, of course, on the positive side, as we remain in the fellowship, we are able to gain, continue to gain and enjoy and possess Christ as right. our portion, as yeah. our allotment.
Mm-hmm.
But there's another perspective, and that is from God's point of view, God in his move on the earth, which in the Old Testament book of Ezekiel is typified by this turning, this moving of a great wheel.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
And we will hear Witness Lee refer to that from very often in his ministry as the wheel of the move of God's economy.
Mm-hmm.
And as Israel stayed connected in fellowship under Christ as her head, the king, her husband, Mm-hmm. God was able to advance in his move on the earth.
Amen.
But when the fellowship was broken, first of all, his people were defeated. But God's move, the move of this great wheel, was also frustrated and slowed down, wasn't it?
That's right. Mm-hmm.
That portion, by the way, I'm referring to is in Ezekiel chapter 1. I picked just a couple of verses here. And as I watched the living creatures, I saw a wheel upon the earth beside the living creatures for each of their four faces. And I'm jumping to chapter 10. And as for their appearance, the four of them had one likeness, as it were a wheel within a wheel. These pictures quite vivid in Ezekiel, again typifying God's move on the earth for the accomplishment of his purpose.
Amen.
Very much connected to our remaining in fellowship with him.
All together.
Let's go back to Witness Lee.
Your wife says a word to you. Where have you been? The voice sounded good. Mostly, the husband would answer, what? You just say what? Good enough. You are cut off. I believe you all have experienced this. Life is a very fine thing. Not only so, dear ones, our fellowship, our enjoyment of Christ is a very necessary thing. By this little fellowship, we can speed up the ringing of this great wheel. Here, you have a great wheel, right? Suppose just a little cut here that threatens the ringing of the wheel. Don't think you express a little bit to your wife, and that means nothing. I didn't lose my temper. You don't need to lose your temper. You just express yourself even without speaking. I tell you, God's economy cannot go forward in you, at least for one day. So every day, every detail, things, we be careful. We must have ourselves kept in gaining Christ, in enjoying Christ all the time. Then God's will, God's economy will go forward again and again. Our kind of situation will speed up the running of this universal wheel. This is why I will spend so much time to stress this intrinsic significance just to show you. In Joshua, Judge, Rose, it is not a matter of history. It is a matter of showing us God has given the good land. But how could we get it? How could we take it? And how could we not only take it and possess it, remain in the enjoyment of the good land? It's not so easy. Take care of this matter.
Dick, he used this comparison to those of us who are married in our dealings with our wives. And as he painted this very vivid picture, you could hear a few chuckle. I could see others just grimacing a little, which is my reaction, because I recalled so many instances where I have played out that little scene, right?
That's true.
And I know you've been married for even longer than I have. So.
Oh, yeah. I've played out that scene, too.
This fellowship that we need to keep, it's a very fine thing, as he said, isn't it?
Right. These little details not only affect us personally, but they affect God's move on this earth. So this is a big matter. And I appreciate, like what our brother said, dear Chris, that he's not in the life study just merely bringing us to an outward record of history.
That's right.
But to the intrinsic significance here of the matter of possessing the good land and the fact that our enjoyment of the good land, our possessing of the good land, our gaining of the good land all depends upon our remaining in this fellowship. And it's true. We could both say that with our wives, sometimes it's not a matter of releasing your temper.
Right.
It's not a matter of doing something really horrible. It's just expressing yourself. Rather than expressing the wonderful Christ who's in our spirit, we leave him and we just take the opportunity to express ourselves. Like he illustrated, maybe your wife says something and you just say, "What?" But the way you say "what" expresses
it says
yourself.
A lot. Yeah.
It says a lot. And then the result is our enjoyment of Christ is cut off. And, of course, a bigger result is the running of this great wheel in God's economy. That is his move on this earth, his move not only into us but into others through us is frustrated, hindered, and perhaps even brought to a temporary standstill. So it is a great responsibility that we've been given in God's economy to take care of this fellowship so we could remain in the enjoyment of Christ all day long. And that way we're happy. And more than that, God is satisfied because he's able to carry out what's on his heart, and that's the dispensing of Christ into man for the building up of the body of Christ and his testimony on this earth.
Dick, this move of God in his economy, the turning of this great wheel, of course, as it related to Israel at the time, very significant because what Scripture already had prophesied, Christ's coming would be from out of Bethlehem.
Amen.
Which means that Israel had to be in possession of the land for Christ to come the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, by Israel's departure and breaking of this fellowship, this move was slowed, was frustrated.
That's right. They couldn't possess the land.
They couldn't possess the land.
And the land was needed for Christ to be brought forth.
So this connects, I think I wanted to make this point to help make and strengthen this connection between God's move in the accomplishment of his purpose and our remaining in a proper fellowship with him.
Amen.
So the care of this matter not only benefits us, but as you pointed out, it allows God, enables him in this age in a timely way to accomplish what he's after even on the earth.
That's right.
Let me read one more verse from 1 John, or two more verses. I know you love this passage and this portion in chapter 1
I do.
On fellowship. If we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie.
Amen.
And are not practicing the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another.
Amen.
And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from every sin.
Praise the Lord.
Boy, there's a marvelous verse on maintaining and restoring this fellowship, isn't there?
That's right. Amen.
Let's go back to Witness Lee.
From chapter 17 to the end, no more talk about fighting, but three things are covered. All are chaotic. Number one, Israel became degraded to such an extent. They became chaotic in their government. As Shiloh, God's tabernacle was there. God's dwelling place was there. The high priest with the Urim and Thummim there. But no king. No government, no administration. Everybody does everything which is right in his or her eyes. Now then, they became also chaotic in their religion. My goodness, Moses spent 40 years with them, teaching them all the time they only have one God. From Genesis to Deuteronomy. Look at all those teachings, charging them again and again and again and again. You must have this one God. Don't go to other gods. My goodness, to the end of Judge, Judge is chaos. Man maker made an idol and set up a little worshiping place in his house and making he sends priest. So that set up of the idol worship snared the entire race of Israel. Two worships. One, the proper one, with God, tabernacle, a Shiloh. The other with a human-made ephod. Set up to the north, and then What can relieve these? Now, in their morality. You just read Isaiah, you don't realize how evil the society of Israel. They don't care. They have no thought about morality. Do you believe such people can gain Christ? But thank the Lord, not every one of the Israelites were like that. At least one couple were not. You read Ruth chapter 2. You see how Boaz handled the case of Ruth. It's all together in the highest standard morality. There was such a man, a proper man, a normal man, moral man. And he was in the middle time of the judges. He was in the time when the chaos was going on. There was such a one.
Dick, we only have a couple of minutes left. A lot was covered in this last segment. This breaking of the fellowship resulted in a threefold chaos, number one, for Israel, right? First of all, they were chaotic in their government.
Amen.
They had a kind of an outward shell, but there was no reality there to a proper government.
Mm-mm.
Number two, their worship was chaotic.
Right.
We see another worship center set up and idolatry sweeping the land against all of those admonitions from Moses about serving the one true God.
Mm.
And then finally, the situation in morality among the people was had really deteriorated. We had several messages in this life study of Judges, Gideon for one, and Samson and others that were caught in extreme immorality, that it really brought Israel down to the ground. But against all of this, there's this one couple, and we're about to go into the book of Ruth. The standard is maintained, and God is still given a way to carry on in the move of his economy by virtue of this one couple, isn't he?
He surely is. And just by this one couple, we're brought back again to this fine point about learning to remain in the fellowship with the Lord. I appreciate a sentence from the life study of Ruth that our brother spoke concerning Ruth. The young man that Boaz had set over the reapers in the field had a report to give to Boaz about Ruth, and this is what he said. His word to Boaz regarding Ruth indicates that he was happy with her, considering her a woman of fidelity and virtue.
Wow.
So she, along with Boaz, maintained the highest standard of morality, that is, keeping themselves for God and for his move. Therefore, in the midst of the chaos, there was a testimony because of these two, and also there was a way for God to carry on his move as that great wheel in his economy, eventually issuing in the incarnation of this wonderful Christ to be a reality to us Christian believers. And I just was reading in some book today, the greatest event in this universe was the incarnation of Christ. And I tell you, here are these two. They got included, and even they're part of the genealogy of Christ.
That's right.
We see them right there in Matthew 1.
That's right.
And it's all because they took care of this matter of remaining in the fellowship and keeping the highest standard of morality, and thereby being people who continued to enjoy and possess and gain this good land. So may we learn from their pattern and their example to be those who always remain in this intimate union with our wonderful Christ, to go on enjoying him, possessing him, and gaining him for his testimony on this earth.
Well, Dick, this program has given us a very good segue, transition from what Witness Lee in his life study calls the stinking story of Israel's corruption before God in the book of Judges to this sweet, marvelous, uplifted story of Ruth that we're about to break into. The connection, I think, was well made. And believe me, for those of you listening, perhaps you've read the book of Ruth or heard something about Ruth before. Don't miss this very short, sweet life study. I think we'll have six or seven messages is all. But every one is just such a gem, and what it typifies in our experience of Christ and what it typifies in the move of God's economy on the earth so that he can gain his purpose is something none of us should miss. Hope you're able to join us for some of those programs, Dick.
I look forward to that, Chris.
Very good. Well, that is all the time we have for today. Join us again as we begin that life study of Ruth. And for Dick Taylor today, I'm Chris Wilde. Thank you very much for listening.